mentioned in the announcement time, I want to take a moment today and just pause to remember what happened 40 years ago. It was 40 years ago yesterday, August 8th, 1975, where Bob Jones had a dramatic supernatural encounter with the Lord, which I'm going to give a little description of, break down some of the details of that. And the Lord spoke concerning what he's going to do in this city and gave many promises, things that 40 years ago did not seem possible or they did not seem likely. He spoke about things that could never have come to pass just because of human initiative and predicting it and that kind of thing. But it's by the Holy Spirit the Lord did this. Now, most of you know the name Bob Jones. The 90-plus percent of you in this room, undoubtedly, and for those that's new, he's a man that's with the Lord right now. He went to be with the Lord recently at age 84 years old. And he's a man the Lord has used to release many accurate prophetic words throughout the last 40 years. And he saw many things concerning what's happening in our midst in the prayer movement and the young adult movement of singers and musicians that would take place in the city. And I want to, again, thank the Lord for that, realign our hearts with confidence to what the Lord's doing, not just in our individual lives and not just in our ministries, but the whole city and the region as a whole. What a privilege to be alive at such a time as this. I mean, there's tremendous pressures that are escalating in the nations. Undoubtedly, many things are increasing that are negative. But it's in that very hour of the increased negative where the Lord in the scripture promised to do remarkable things in his church, that the church would go forward in advancements and power in a way second to no other time in history. And I believe that we're in that time frame of history. And so what a remarkable time to be alive. But the enemy wants us preoccupied with fear, or preoccupied with our failure, or preoccupied with what's not happening in our life. And the Lord wants us preoccupied with him and his promises and his leadership. Here in Philippians chapter 1, sums it up so well. Paul said, being confident that he who began a good work in you, he will complete it. Being confident of this very thing, that the Lord who began a work in your individual life, the Lord says, I promise you, I will bring it to pass. Now, this is a promise that he will complete the purpose of God, the will of God in our lives. This is a promise for our individual lives. It's a promise for families. It's a promise for ministries, for churches. It's a promise for cities. At every level, the Lord says, what I initiated, what I thought of and set in motion, I promise you, I will bring it to pass. And what the Lord requires of his people is that continual realigning of our heart to say yes again, to say yes again. He doesn't look to us to have remarkable strength or remarkable wisdom or abilities. He wants us to say yes. He says, if you keep saying yes in your weakness, receive my mercy, receive my guidance, weak and broken human beings, I promise you, the Lord says, if you keep saying yes, I will bring to pass my promises in your life. And he's saying that to us as a people as well, and as a city as well. Now, the Lord spoke things and set things in motion over this city. And I want to talk about it because I want our faith to be strengthened. But before I say that, I want to say something very important. The Lord has promises and plans over every city in the earth. It's not like it's Kansas City and that's the main city. The Lord has it for thousands of cities. He has plans and purposes. And some of you are in this city for a short term, for months or years, and then your assignment is in another city, a long-term assignment. And I want to say that the Lord's not just the Lord of this city. He's the Lord of all the earth. And this promise is for every city. But I don't want to neglect some of the specific things he said to us. And again, the other cities of the earth can have a story that would be appropriate and applicable to their city. The Lord says, that which I begun, that which I thought of, I originated it. I promise you, I will oversee it. I will finish it. I will bring this thing to pass. I'll release the inside. I'll release the circumstantial situation. I will make it happen. Now, the Bible uses a phrase that it says, and the Lord will go before you, or the Lord goes ahead of you. And that's a phrase you find in the scripture in several places. And what it means that the Lord will go before you, it means this, that years ahead of time, the Lord will set circumstances into place that you were not aware of, that you could not influence yourself, and that at the right time you would step into a situation and the setting would be already established beforehand. And the Lord says, I did that. I went before you and did that. Well, 40 years ago, he spoke a number of things, and I'm going to highlight six or seven of them. Things that 40 years ago were not likely. Things that would not have been natural way of thinking that would have taken place in Kansas City or even more particularly in Grandview. But as they were spoken, and they were spoken many times and many people heard them. And like me, when I first heard them 32 years ago, 7 years after this encounter that Bob Jones originally had, the very first day I met him, he told me these things. And he told them many, many times. And they didn't seem likely, and frankly, I didn't believe them. I just thought they were just out into another realm of unreality that I didn't know what he was talking about. But now, here it is, 40 years after 1975, and the fact they were declared so clearly and the fact they're now happening, it makes you take a step back and say, Lord, if these things happen, well, then the other things will happen too. And if this is true for us as a city, as a ministry, then it's true for us in our individual lives. It's true for us, for our families, for our businesses, for our assignment, the God's assignment for other cities. So if it's true, parts, then the other parts are true as well. Now, when the Lord spoke over this city, he spoke far more than just the IHOP prayer ministry. But the Lord has a calling over this city, over this region. When I think of the region, I think of a 100-mile radius or a couple hundred mile radius, whatever. It's a larger area than just one specific area. And the purpose of God is the whole body of Christ in this city, in this region. There's well over 1,000 congregations. And every congregation has its own assignment. It's like a great symphony, and everybody plays an instrument. Every ministry plays an instrument in the symphony of that purpose for that city or that region. And the reason I'm saying that is because these words were spoken over the city, but there's a particular stirring of our heart because they were connected to the prayer movement in a very specific way. Not confined to the prayer movement, but connected in a way that builds our faith and causes us to have confidence these many years later. Well, paragraph B, twice on August 8th, 1975, 40 years ago, 1982, 33 years ago, two times on August 8th, Bob had dramatic supernatural encounters. Two of his major encounters of his entire 40 years of prophetic ministry occurred on August 8th. Somebody goes, why August 8th? I don't know. And I love Bob Jones's way. I would ask him many questions. Why this? Why that? And one of his phrases that he said most often was, I don't know. I don't know. I just have the information of where it's going. I don't know why. I don't know how. I just know the Lord said it. So I think it's okay that we don't know a lot of the whys behind the whats. But my goal today is that we would realign our heart yet again. Because, I mean, with the will of God, with confidence. Because the enemy's goal is to get us preoccupied with fear. To look around the nations and go, oh no, and draw back. Or to look at our own lives and go, oh no. Get fear. That's it, one of his primary strategies. Preoccupied with fear or preoccupied with shame. How bad we've done. Whether it's fear or shame or disappointment. Get preoccupied with what's not happening in our life that we think should be happening by now. And whether it's disappointment, whether it's shame, whether it's fear or other things, if we get preoccupied, we will draw back in isolation. And the most on fire, mature believer, you get isolated, the enemy, you are far more vulnerable to the enemy taking you out. He wants you isolated, and he gets you isolated by getting you preoccupied on shame, failure, fear, disappointment. And he says this, I want you confident that the things I promised for your life, for the city, for this generation, I want you confident, and I want you preoccupied with my leadership, with what I said I would do, what I am doing in your midst. I want you to see that. Then when you do, you'll move towards the Lord, and you'll do it in relationship with people that have the same values and the same vision. You'll move forward together. Well, in paragraph C, I'm going to share this just from Bob's own words. And then we have an 8-minute video. Actually, the video is several hours where we interviewed Bob, and quite extensive when he was about 80 years old. Again, he died when he was 84, about 2 years ago. And but we got extensive videos of him just so that we would always be able to recall, and we just pulled about 8 minutes out of it, and we've got a lot of the videos on the internet, and you can look at them if you want. I find them inspiring. Most of all the stories I've heard over and over and over, but I still like to hear them again. I watched a few of them yesterday, and I go, oh, yes, I remember. Now I remember, of course. I told that story 20 times, but now I really remember. And it just renews my heart, renews my confidence. Not in Bob Jones, but in the Lord. Lord, you really did go ahead of us. You really did set things up years ahead of time that nobody could have determined, so that 40 years later we would say, surely this is the doing of the Lord. This is the Lord's hand. And then if this is of the Lord, then we know the other things he promised will come to pass as well. Well, what happened is that in August 7th, the day before August 8th, the Lord spoke to him in a quite a dramatic way and told him to prophesy against abortion. This is in 1975, and as you know, abortion had been legal for 2 years. And he said, the Lord spoke to him very clearly, go prophesy against abortion. Then a demon appeared to him. Now, it's a very unusual thing for a demon to appear to somebody. I mean, he said, I saw him with my natural eyes right in front of me. I mean, for a demon to appear in a dream, you know, that happens a little bit here and there, or maybe even a vision, but I wouldn't look forward to a demon appearing to me in the natural, but that's happened to Bob several times over the years. And of course, most people that are the Lord uses a lot in the prophetic, that sort of thing would happen a few times over the years. And he goes, and this demon stood in front of me. Again, 40 years ago, 1975, August 8th. No, August 7th. And it says, if you prophesy against abortion, I will kill you. Bob says, I rose up in faith and confidence, knowing my authority in the Lord, and I said to the demon, I'm not afraid of you at all. He says, I'm not concerned. He goes, the next day, August 8th, he goes, I just started prophesying against abortion. He goes, and suddenly I became deathly ill. He says, I don't know what happened. Just instantly, it's like my midsection became hard as a rock, and he began to hemorrhage out of his nose and mouth. He said, with every heartbeat, blood started squirting out, and he goes, he went to a doctor, and the doctor said, I've never seen anything like this. And Bob had a death experience, or I don't know what the formal term is, where a near-death experience. I mean, he died and stood before the Lord, and the Lord talked to him and said, I'm sending you back. So whether he technically died or near-death, you know, different people use different terms. I'm not concerned by that so much. But he goes, I stood before the Lord. And this was to me it was over, my life was over, and the Lord says, I have an assignment for you. I want you to go back, and I want you to touch the beginning of a leadership team of young people that will have 24-hour prayer with singers and musicians. I want you to go back and touch them and establish them in my purpose so that they will have faith and confidence in the days ahead. I mean, he understood all of this and the whole of the experience with the Lord. And in that encounter, he says, I'm right before the Lord. He goes, my body's laying there on the bed. He says, dead or near dead, and I'm before the Lord. And then the Lord sends me back. And when I go back, he says, I saw two angels standing over my apparently dead body. And he goes, I look at myself and I thought, Lord, wow, that's intense. And I mean, to see, you know, yourself lying there is an interesting situation. But anybody that's, I've read quite a few testimonies of near-death experiences, and they most every time testify they're looking at their body, they're a little perplexed what's happening. Because, beloved, your spirit, man, is so real that if you died suddenly right now, you would be so alive and so conscious in a second. Within a second. You wouldn't even hardly know what happens. And so he sees these two angels then. And these two angels are declaring things over Kansas City. So from what the Lord told him in this face-to-face encounter, and then the Lord sent him back, and then what he heard the two angels say, it's quite a testimony of things that happen. And the Lord gave a number of things that would take place, and they've taken place. I mean, it ends up remarkable, the accuracy of the things that he heard. And he told these things quite extensively, I mean, to anybody that would listen. I mean, those of you that had a relationship with Bob, you know, he would just kind of, I mean, I had a joke. I go, Bob will just tell you everything he knows. I mean, he'll just lay it out there. He didn't have political correctness was not something he was intimidated by. And he would just tell you whatever the Lord told him and just let the consequences fall where they fall. Well, one of the things the Lord told him here in paragraph C, he said, there's coming a third world war. He said, I heard this directly from the mouth of the Lord. He goes, a third world's coming. The Lord says, I'm going to wake up my body across the nations, but I'm going to use a third world war to do it. And this war is going to cause many believers to, I mean, any people who love the Lord to refocus their life from the natural preoccupation we have with our own needs, our own agendas, our own goals, our own plans. I mean, when trouble comes, we get really focused on the Lord in a new intensity. Though the devil will be working in the midst of a war like that, the Lord says, I'm going to use it, and I'm going to wake up the body of Christ. Then the Lord spoke next. He goes, I'm going to bring in 1 billion new souls, mostly young people. The greatest harvest in all of human history is yet to come, and it will be over 1 billion souls. He says, and it's going to be it's going to begin in just the days ahead, in the years ahead. Then he told him there's going to be an explosion of light that's going to break out of Kansas City. And this explosion of light would be the glory of God. But there's two very different dimensions to this word the Lord spoke to him. One word is that the light would be the glory of God, a manifestation of, well, I mean, we could call it revival, but it's more than revival. Hundreds of thousands of people coming to the Lord in our city, and great signs and wonders and healing, and people being radically dedicated to the Lord. And again, these kinds of things will be happening in the cities across the earth. These things are not specific to a few cities, but these things will be happening in many cities around the world. But the Lord said there will be a great explosion of light, of the glory of God. Miracles, salvation, hundreds of thousands of people getting saved is what Bob understood coming in this very city. And I believe that. I believe there will be hundreds of thousands of people getting to be saved in the Kansas City area using the whole body of Christ. But there was a second dimension to this light explosion. Bob really didn't understand this. And the Lord made it clear to him that when this glory of God is manifest in the city, it would be instantly communicated to nations around the world. That across over in Asia, they would know instantly. He said at the speed of light, they would see what was happening in Kansas City and participate in it. Now we know now that's through the internet and through smartphones and all the technology, but 40 years ago, that was a bizarre idea. That at the speed of light, somebody on the other side of the world could see and participate in real time with what's happening with somebody far away. Well, that didn't make any sense to Bob, and when he first told me that, I didn't understand at all what he was talking about. I remember 7 years after this, he had this encounter with the Lord. It was 7 years later when I met him in March of 1983, and he comes walking in my office in Overland Park. We got a new young adult church that has just launched, and he come in and he said, he says, I want to tell you what's going to happen in your future. And I wasn't very receptive to him. I mean, it was like this. I was a little put off by it, actually. And he said, as you know, I've said this over the years, he goes, the Lord's going to use you, and there's going to be thousands of young people, singers and musicians. You're going to have 24-hour worship and prayer. Well, I didn't want to do that, and I thought, okay, I was sure that was wrong. Then he said, matter of fact, it's going to be such, he says, that over in Asia, in the rice paddies, they're going to he saw smartphones. But of course, he didn't know it was smartphones. He goes, I saw them in the rice paddies. He goes, and they have unplugged TV sets in their hands. They're watching singers and musicians. He goes, from Grandview. Now, we're over in Overland Park. He goes, well, you're moving to Grandview. And I said, well, our people don't really shop over there. He said, I promise you they will. He said, great wealth is coming to Grandview beyond anything you can imagine. He goes, I promise you they will. And I said, why would I go to Grandview? He said, well, because of Harry S. Truman. He lived in Grandview. And I said, well, I appreciate that. That our president of the United States lived in Grandview. That's great. So? Well, because Harry S. Truman was the man God used in a singular way to cause Israel to become a nation in 1948. Most of you are aware of the story. But Old Testament prophecy says that in the generation the Lord returns, very clear, Israel will be a nation and they will be back in the land. Well, for 2,000 years, from 70 AD on, Israel was driven out of the land by the Romans. For 2,000 years, Israel's not in the land. God raised up a man from Grandview. Well, Independence and Grandview lived in both places, different times of his life. And this man, God used to cause Israel to become a nation in a singular way. I mean, in a way beyond, in a very unique way. Others were involved, obviously, but... And I said, okay, I didn't know that. And I said, so what? I don't care that Harry S. Truman said yes to Israel. Cool. Bless Harry S. Truman. He goes, well, this singer-musician movement's going to pray for Israel. And it's going to be connected to Asia. They're going to have unplugged TV sets in the rice paddies. I'm going to have a picture of a 50-pound TV set in the rice paddy, you know, kicking back with a little cup of tea, watching, oops, we forgot to plug it in. Watching singers and musicians on Harry S. Truman's property in Grandview? What are you talking about? He goes, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. He goes, it's going to be on. He goes, not just unplugged TV sets, in the rice paddies, the poor of Asia will do it. I don't know, maybe they'll have some new invention in the, you know, some Star Trek kind of invention that the wealthiest people will, I mean, I didn't really think that, but I thought, whatever. But he goes, no, it'll be the poor of Asia, all over. That didn't make sense. How could that happen? He goes, those TV sets actually will be on their watches before it's over. Tell me this, right when I first met him. I go, TV sets on watches in the rice paddies in Asia, watching singers and musicians on Truman's property in Grandview, and that's my life calling. He goes, yeah, yeah. He says, yeah. Hey, it's good to meet you. Hope to never see you again. I mean, hope to see you again some other time. No, it was the strangest thing I could imagine. He says, at that time, he goes, they'll perfect an abortion pill. I go, what do you mean? He goes, because abortion, you know, this is 1983 when I met him. It's 77 years after this experience 40 years ago. And abortion had been legal in 1983 when I'm meeting Bob the first time for 10 years. He said, now they're going to develop a pill. They'll sell it over the counter. I said, sir, do you know what an abortion is? He goes, of course I know what abortion is. I go, you can't have an abortion with a pill. It doesn't work that way. He goes, yeah, it will. I promise you. He goes, at that time, the homosexuals will come out of the closet. They'll be parading in the streets with the support of governments around the world at that time. A world war will break out. Israel will be in the balance. God's raising up prayer ministries all over the earth, and you're going to be one of them with singers and musicians. You're going to be a part of this thing. Great wealth is coming to Grandview. Great wealth. And I just couldn't make sense of any of that. And so, I loved to end this part of the story with, he says, are you a singer, a musician? No. He goes, oh, wow, I thought you would be. He said, you got a heart for Israel? I go, no. I never think about Israel. I said, I don't even care about Israel, to be honest. He goes, okay. He goes, do you have a connection to Asia? I go, none. He goes, so you don't know anything I'm talking about. I said, nothing, zero. He goes, the Lord told me you'd be dull. I didn't think you'd be this dull. He goes, you know nothing? I go, nothing. He goes, this is going to be so much work. I was not amused. Well, he said here in paragraph C again, there's going to be a great explosion of light. And the light would be the manifest glory of God, revival, hundreds of thousands of people coming to the Lord. I believe that's coming not so far down the road. A season of revival for our whole nation, not just Kansas City, all over America. The nations of the world, actually. 1 billion souls are coming to the Lord. But he goes, and when this happens, they'll see it in Asia instantaneously at the speed of light. Now, we know that's the internet. I mean, we get that now. He said, the Lord sent me back to touch some of the first leaders of this young adult movement. He goes, the Lord let me know, I won't be in Kansas City when it comes to fullness. It'll be beyond my time. But the Lord wants you to understand these promises because years from now they will matter. They will give strength and courage. And again, many, many people heard these prophecies. It wasn't a matter of a private conversation. Many of them heard. Papa, again, would just tell almost anything to anybody that had a heart to hear it if it was something the Lord promised. He goes, multitudes are going to come to the city. He goes, there's going to be disturbances in various parts of the world, and I don't want to break that down right now. And he said, a lot of people are going to move to the Midwest. And he goes, and many of them will come to Kansas City. There'll be a spirit of revival here. There'll be great wealth in the city. There'll be many things taking place. He goes, the Lord told me, he goes, because his church, again, we're talking about the whole body of Christ. We're not talking about an IHOP prayer ministry, something far bigger, said it would function like a house of prophecy. In other words, a spirit of revelation. And he said, and the Lord said it would be called a house of prayer. Now, the house of prayer is what God calls his church. It's not what God calls we have a missions organization called the house of prayer, but that's a little subunit of the house of prayer reality that's in the Bible. Paragraph 1, God said he'd send great finances. Later, in paragraph 1, he said he would make Grandview, Kansas City, but Grandview, a world shipping center. Really? A world shipping center with great finance. He says, Bob says, I asked the Lord over and over, how could this be? How could these things happen in a city like Kansas City or in a place like Grandview? I mean, it's not the sort of thing that any of us would guess. The great wealth would come and that kind of thing. And the Lord said, he gave me the same answer several times. He said, because I will open my hand in power and favor when the people pray. And this will be a place where the people pray, and there will be a multiplication of blessing that will keep coming because the prayers will keep ascending night and day. So if the Lord has you in this place for a season and relocates you in another city, which is the Lord does that a lot, and we rejoice in that, wherever you go, whatever influence you have, whether it's over 5 people or whether it's over 50 people or 5,000, get them to pray. They don't have to pray in the way we do here or the way they do over there. Get them to pray because I tell you, more will happen in that city. And so if the Lord has you here for a season and marks you and sends you to another city, don't just say, well, that was a neat time at IHOP, I prayed some. No, no, bring that conviction and stir others up to do it the way the Lord shows them in that city. Paragraph D. Well, a world war. You know, there's much on the internet on that right now. And so you can fill in the blanks as much as you have interest in it. But a new quote came out just a couple days ago from one of the top political leaders in Iran. And he said this. I mean, this is a couple days old. The threat, here's what he said in an interview. The threat of the outbreak of a third world war is serious. This is a top official in Iran talking about a third world war coming. He warned that the nations across the globe would soon be engulfed by a third world war. Well, he was attributing it to terrorists. But Iran is the number one nation funding terrorists, according to many sources. But this situation, this nuclear arms deal with Iran, many think it is the key moment of the escalation of situations of a limited nuclear arms, not a limited, I mean a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. And the nations in the Middle East right now, they're talking, planning, figuring out if Iran has a nuclear weapon, we better have one. And this is triggering off, setting in motion an arms race in the Middle East of nuclear weapons. I mean, the seriousness of that is beyond anything we can really calculate. Iran has publicly for years and years made bold statements to completely exterminate Israel. They're making the statements today to exterminate Israel, drive them off, completely annihilate the nation. And the way it's going, soon they will have nuclear weapons. This is going to force Israel into a no-win situation in the political sense. I mean, if they do nothing, they will be destroyed. And if they take a preemptive strike, the world will be against them for starting a world war. Israel will need prayer. I mean, things are heating up. But again, what for such a time as this, what a time to be alive, because though the threats are ominous, the Lord's promises are sure. And he says, I assure you, I will bring to pass the things I promised. Paragraph E. An explosion of light. Well, it's old news now that the Google Fiber has been instituted in the Kansas City area back in 2011. 1,000 cities applied to be the city. Google would put $1 billion of investment. 1,000 cities. They picked Kansas City. I remember talking to Bob about that. I go, Bob, they pick. He goes, that's not surprising to me at all. I mean, of 1,000 cities, they pick Kansas City to put $1 billion in to make it the first city with Google Fiber all throughout the city, the region. They say it's 100 times faster than normal broadband speeds. I don't think it's just that divine poetry I have written here in paragraph E. It was on May 7th, and most of you in the room are aware of how May 7th is a special day to us and how the Lord has spoken to us related to May 7th. It was on May 7th that Google said, we're going to put Google Fiber in Grandview. I mean, it was just like divine poetry. The Lord saying, hey, are you paying attention? It's Grandview, Google Fiber, May 7th, it's coming. That was just like a kiss from the Lord. Great finances. Well, 2 months ago, and this is again, it's quite a bit on the internet about this, Cisco announced their plans to make Kansas City the first and the largest smart city in America. And all that's involved in a smart city, bringing together technologies and all the services of the city and putting them on everybody's mobile devices and free Wi-Fi and all these things coming together. You can read the details yourself. 2 months ago, Cisco, in partnership with a lot of others, but Sprint's involved in this in a big way, they announced that Kansas City's going to be the first smart city. So are the first city for Google Fiber and now the first smart city. Undoubtedly, those are related, but the Lord is setting this stuff in motion. these are things, he didn't say those exact things, but 40 years ago, he was talking in these according to these lines. Ashley Hand, one of the top leaders over the project here in Kansas City, she says, I have written here in paragraph F, and again, you can check it on the internet and get so much more detail. It's quite fascinating. It's exciting. It says the city will be a living laboratory for entrepreneurs, for startup companies to come here, and they will test their technologies in a real smart city environment. This will put Kansas City at the forefront of this industry. She said it would make Kansas City, she said it or one of the others, you can get the quotes exact, would be a global leader in this whole new way, this innovative new way of the future. Kansas City would then become one of the global leaders. Here's what I was really struck by. The Cisco executives estimate this is going to bring $3 trillion to the Kansas City area. That constitutes Kansas City becoming wealthier. $3 trillion is what they're estimating. This is a brand new thing that's developed in June. You know, you could look back, and I don't know exactly, but just take 5 years ago, look at those various lists, top 10 cities in America. I don't know that Kansas City ever made the list ever. I mean, I really don't. But in the last couple years, Kansas City's on many of these lists. I mean, Kansas City is a city. This is a brand new development, just suddenly. And of course, because of the Google Fiber and all of these kinds of things. Paragraph G, top of page 2. I'll just give a few more points, and then I'm going to show you the video and then pray for you. The Lord said it would be a world shipping center. So think of Grandview, World Shipping Center. Those don't connect to me. Well, the center point, paragraph G, the intermodal center that's being established right now, just 3-4 miles down the road. I mean, from here, 3-4 miles down the road, it's an intermodal center. I first read, someone told me that. I go, what's intermodal? I don't even know what that means. Well, I looked it up. And intermodal, it's really simple. It means it's when goods move from one mode of transportation to another mode of transportation. I go, oh, intermodal, I get it. What they're establishing is a massive product distribution center just 3-4 miles down the road where Richard Gabar Airport used to be. They're building 5 million square feet of building, putting $300 million into it, 8 million square feet of storage, developing it underground. 2,000 new jobs will be in Grandview just down the road. Well, they started this program in 2008, but it stalled for 7 years. But 2015, in February, they announced with a couple big contracts, Walmart and a couple others. This thing is full steam ahead, and this thing is going to explode. And how it works is they're taking major ports in Canada, major ports south down in Mexico, and then the east and west coast, and through the rail system, they're bringing the goods to Kansas City. That's mode number one, railroad. Then at a big distribution center here, they're putting it on trucks, and then they're going to just bring it to all the heartland area, and it will be one of the major distribution places in America. It's going to bring great wealth to the city. Well, then, yeah, that's 3-4 miles if you go south. If you go 5 miles the other way, the Cerner campus. You just look at the internet and check that out. They're putting $5 billion in a campus 4 or 5 miles down the road. 16,000 new jobs. $5 billion. So we got $3 trillion coming to the city. We got one of the primary distribution centers, a new one developing 3-4 miles to the south, and the Cerner technology, 16,000 jobs a little bit to the north. I mean, things are moving. The Lord's moving on little out-of-the-way Grandview and Kansas City, And again, I'm not looking at that thinking, oh, I'm proud of my city. I am proud of my city. I love my city, but that's not what I mean. I go, Lord, you said these things 40 years ago. There wasn't a chance of these things happening. There was no indication whatsoever of these kinds of things taking place. So these things are now happening, and there's many more details I could give of this story. But it was 40 years ago yesterday. The Lord spoke this, and in essence, he's saying, I went ahead of you. I went before you. I don't mean me as in me individually. I went ahead of the body of Christ in the city. I promised things that were not likely to happen at all. And now that they're happening, you can be sure I'm going to do the other things too. The point is, being confident that he that began a good work, and if it's true for a city, if it's true for a ministry, it's true for your life. If God does it this way, that's how he always does it. He's always true to his promises. He doesn't need us to have heroic faith or heroic, phenomenal wisdom. He needs a yes from weak people like us. And all over the city, the body of Christ, we just keep saying yes. He will supply the resource, the insight, the motivation, the power, the wealth. Just keep saying yes. Don't get focused on the negative. Don't be preoccupied in fear or shame or disappointment. Get preoccupied with what I'm doing. Press in hard with all of your heart. Do it with other people of like vision and value. Well, I'll just comment for just another moment and get the power team, I mean the PowerPoint team, get ready to show this 8-minute video. Paragraph I, just wanted to mention it was 7 years later. The first one was 40 years ago, 1975. The next one, August 8th, 7 years later. The Lord spoke again. I mean, this is one of my favorite words the Lord gave Bob. And again, I don't want to break it all down, but there's so much to each one of these. Most of you have been around here a few years. You've heard the stories. And my point is just to take a moment, remember, say thank you, and realign, saying, Lord, it is worth it. And I'm not going to get lost in my weakness and brokenness and disappointment. I'm going to get focused in a new way. I'm going to say yes, because that's all that he asks us to do is say yes. And he'll do the other things through us if we keep saying yes. But I find I have to say yes all the time, because the yes I said a week ago doesn't keep me steady today. Just like the hamburger I ate a week ago doesn't help me that much today. I have to say yes day after day. That's how it works. The enemy doesn't want us to. He wants us to get preoccupied with the others, get isolated, so he takes us out of the game. Got a lot of good reasons why we're preoccupied, but you get it taken out of the game and the enemy wins. He says, don't do that. Be confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you, he will bring it to pass. Let's go ahead and show this 8-minute video, then have the worship team come, and then we're going to pray over you. And Bob's about 80 years old when he's given this interview. A few years ago.
A demon appeared to me and said, if you tell anybody that prophecy, I'll kill you. So on August 8th of 75, I had some calls over the phone that wanted me to give what I just got in that revelation about what would begin to take place from that time forth. So I spoke to him. And then I went to work with my son. I was doing tree service. And I got out in about 30 minutes. A pain hit me in the lower body. It was terrible. I mean, my lower body began to get as hard as rock from my waist down. And I asked my son to get me home. So he drove me home, and they took me to the doctor. The doctor said, I've never really seen this before, but this is really critical. You better get him in the hospital right away. I said, no, I'm going to die. I'll die in my own bed. So he gave me some pain pills and went home. And I took one. It didn't stop the pain. That pain was horrible. I took a second one, didn't stop the pain. I took a third one. When I took the third one, no sooner got it down, and blood began to shoot out of my mouth like a geyser. And I could see some of the pain pills had never dissolved. So I got a wet towel and wrapped it around my head, and I think, man, this is serious. I went to a tunnel, and I looked out of the tunnel, and it was beautiful light on down the road. And I looked to my side, and there was a man dressed in white. And I've never seen his face, but he was there, and he was walking beside me. And I'm thinking, huh, I think I'm dead. And my second thought was, I come out of deep sin. I wonder if my robe's clean. And the man spoke to me and said, you can see now, Bob, look. And I looked, and my robe didn't have any spots on it. So we walked to where that beautiful white light was. And it was white light and white light. And that which in the center had the shape of a man in it was the most beautiful of all white light. It is all white light. And he had his arms out. And he was greeting people. And I stepped out of that cave, and all of a sudden, there was light that just surrounded me, all around me. And I felt the best that I'd ever felt in my life. And I asked the man in white light, what is this? And he said, it's the glory of God. And I said, oh, that's so wonderful. I feel so loved. I feel so content. And he said, yeah, it's the love of God. I said, how can it be both? The glory and the love. Well, it's John 17. And it's like I was wrapped up in a cocoon of the anointing. And I felt so, if you'd multiply all the good feelings I'd ever had on earth 1,000 times, it still wouldn't touch it. So I started walking on closer to that great white light. And in the center of that white light, the man, the only thing that wasn't white was his eyes. And they were total blue. And they were like two wells. You couldn't see the bottom of them. But it was like two wells with light in them, but you could never see the bottom. He said, I don't want you going back for one soul. I want you going back for 1 billion youth. And I want you to go back and touch the leaders, because I'm going to honor myself in one of the greatest awakenings of all time. And there'll be over 6 billion people on the earth at the time I'm speaking of, which is now. And I'm going to bring youth in from every place without number. And they're going to need leaders to bring them in. And I said, I'll go back for that. I mean, looking at that line was one of the most horrible things I've ever seen. And so all of a sudden I was back, and I was looking down at my body, and that bloody towel was still around my face. And I looked, and there was two huge angels that were covering me like they do the ark. Their wings literally were totally covered me. It began in 82, even before that. And I was in a church, and I told the pastor, I'll be with you for a short time, but there's a group of young people that's coming that God is going to use in a big way. And they'll be literally with them, the house of the watchful and the wise will be formed. And their main calling will be praise and intercession. And when they come, I'll leave and go to them. Because all I could see was a bunch of young people and a white horse. And the white horse ministries was coming. And it just didn't make any sense. But the visions kept coming. In 83, February, And a friend of mine in Kansas City said, Bob, there's some young people you need to meet. They come from St. Louis. And I'd been told the word Louis, which means littered like a spear or prayer warrior. On March the 7th of 83, went over to meet with them, Mike Bickle and some of them. The Lord had told me to wear a coat, a heavy one. It would be a sign that there'd be a double winter that year. And it would start on the first day of spring. And so I went over and saw Mike Bickle. And I told him several things that I'd been shown about him. And I was told that they had a major calling. One of them was intercession, 24/7, but also praise, which was the tabernacle of David, and that the flaps would be up to where the whole world would see the glory.
I think that's the end of it. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up, if you would. Again, this is a couple-hour video. They just pulled 7 or 8 minutes out of it, and he's got a lot of things he said. But 40 years later, the Lord is establishing so many things. And I tell you, I've never had more confidence than I have right now that the Lord's eyes are on this city, on this nation, on the nations of the world. And for such a time as this, we've come into the kingdom. Amen. Let's stand. I'm going to invite anybody to come forward that would like prayer, and you're saying, I need to get realigned with the Lord in a real specific way. I mean, I got to do this all the time. It's not like just every now and then. Yes, Lord, I got to realign and not be preoccupied with other stuff and get locked into who you are and what you said. And if you are saying, yeah, I need that today, and I'd like people to pray with me, I want to invite you to come up. If you're in the room and you're saying, I'm sick in my body or my heart is hurting on another issue, I just want somebody to stand with me in prayer, I'm going to invite you to come up as well. And I want to invite anybody in the room. If you're born again and you love Jesus, whether you live here or you're visiting this weekend, you're welcome to come up and pray for folks. Because I want everyone to pray for at least two times by two different people. So come on up and pray for a few folks. Take a few minutes from all over the room. Come on up here, if you would. Go ahead, Marshall. Lord, I thank you for the spirit of grace right now. I ask you for the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask for renewing of the Holy Spirit of the heart. I ask you that you would restore what the enemy has stolen. Restore it. I ask for restoration. It's for healing of the body, healing of hearts. Release your glory, Lord, in this room right now.
Your glory, Lord.
Lord, release your glory in this room.
Align us again.
Lord, we realign our heart with you.
Draw us closer to your heart. Lord. We want to be with you. We want to be near you, Lord.
Ask for a few more to come on up if you would. Can we, when everyone prayed for a couple times?
Glory, God.
Hey, that's all. I love you,
Lord. Wisdom, grace to stand. Let us hear your voice again.
Lord, we speak grace, grace over this people.
Speak grace,
release your
grace.
Glory. Release your healing power.
Come and do what you want to do.
Down on us, God.
Come and do what you
what you want to do in hearts right now.
Release, release power, Lord.
Release your fire, Lord. Release your glory.